Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The early line right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. One more hour to go in terms of our reign as a duo over the early line, though. The early line is going nowhere, nor is Donnie Wrightside. Even if there are some rumors circulating that he's going back to teaching, did you ever teach?
No, but I taught you a lot here on the Sports Grid Network. And I figured, like, maybe I have to teach. See that? Maybe I have to teach another fellow, colleague here the way it's done, the way the ropes are in. Look, I'm a mentor here. Brought in to mentor you. Look what it got you. Your own show. Now, the next, show I'm going to go to, I'm going to do a little bit of mentoring here and saying, look, with the William Patterson, you can take all your Northwesterns, your Syracuses, and do what you got to do. But I'm here to help you get your own show. So there you go. That's how we play.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you this. If you think I will not miss a single new early line, that is a dream. that is a dream situation set up there. But I got to tell you, people, if this is going to be my last early line, you think I'm not talking basketball, you got another thing coming. Let's get to it. Team USA in action, Donnie. They were a 25.5-point favorite against Montenegro. So an 85-73 result is disappointing. I don't think there's any other way to put it here. And considering they were trailing at the break, I think that's inarguable. But for Team USA, they keep chugging along. Anthony Edwards gave them 17 points, all of those coming in the second half of this game. But I got to tell you, I can't tell if the vibes are fine or if some just personal vibes are off for a few players, but Brandon Ingram has been dropped from this team's starting lineup, and Cam Johnson received a DNP coach's decision in this game, the only player on the team. He didn't make the cut for 5 minutes against Montenegro here. Again, a win for Team USA, but this feels like their worst result of any game that they've played when you even go back to the exhibition matchup.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to see that final score, 85-73 here. Now, you still have to have good. They haven't lost yet, preliminary rounds or in the FIBA World Cup itself. But I just feel like, and I don't even know if this is the case. Like, we sit on a powder keg, like, U.S. gets upset, and then the minute, like, this whole FIBA Cup is over, they start getting on their own podcast and just laying waste to how this was actually run, and they were disappointed, and nobody's used to their best interest here, and they're not going to do it again. It has that feeling to it, even though they haven't lost yet.
My favorite, the weirdest part, though, when you look at the coaching staff, it's the best coaches in the world. It's Steve Kerr, it's Eric Spoelstra, it's Ty Lue. Like, they should all combine be able to handle this, no issue there. If you're a player and you're having a problem here, probably more on you than anything else. I'm going to be honest with you. Let's get to a couple NBA news and notes, though, because there were a few items that crossed the desk that I thought were worth mentioning. And one of those, Donnie, was the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers, believe it or not, have their eyes on Trae Young. Now, this was a stunning bit of news here that I know you felt it was necessary to get into the show this morning. They said that there's a number of people in the organization, including LeBron James, who would be interested in bringing in someone like a Trae Young to this basketball team here. Tough to tell what the timeline on this is. Tough to tell how the Lakers could even get this done. But a team that's currently 15-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the NBA championship, as we bring our radio audience in the fold here on a Friday morning, the early line SiriusXM channel 159. Tough to tell how much a Trae Young addition would move the Lakers' title odds, but obviously it would be a big boost.
Yes, it would be a big boost. But the thing I love the most here about the Los Angeles Lakers is, where are they getting the money for this? But yet this is still probably going to be a valid option. Yes, the Lakers are looking for more superstar power on top of LeBron James, on top of Anthony Davis. They brought their entire core back. I wonder what they would have to give up and what they would have to pay in order to get Trae Young. But it is an intriguing thought process to think about, because that guy's the Energizer Bunny. If you want to give LeBron a little bit more time off and you want to send him into the bench, it's not like bringing Westbrook into the game. Like, oh man, this guy can't even play anymore. Like, Trae Young would actually be a viable solution for the Lakers to fit in with those superstars and also carry the weight when those superstars are getting their rest time in.
Trae Young for Austin Reeves, straight up. Who says no? I got to get to this last one because I actually think it's going to be right up your alley, though.
Mm-hmm.
The report comes from Marcus Spears, that Jason Tatum, Donnie, was trying to, quote, get in the ear of Damian Lillard about joining the Celtics, but Dame remains focused on Miami. One angle of this, will Damian Lillard ever be traded? But the other angle of this is, again, one of your favorites. There's only one way that the Celtics were getting Damian Lillard, and that was trading Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
Man, that's not a good report to let get out there, JT. I got to be honest with you, pal.
Like, look, why don't you come here and play with me? And by the way, we're going to send Jaylen Brown. I mean, this guy's ruining our franchise right here. You can save it. We can have so much fun. I just need to get this guy out of town somewhere or another. And you're right. Like, how does that leak? If it's a personal phone call, you know JT leaked that himself just to cause that little ruckus in the locker room that we've been waiting for. My goodness.
Well, here's the thing. I got to say, the leak probably came from Dame as he tries to ruin. Because if Tatum said, yeah, I called him and like he just told me to beat it, I want to live in Miami, that's not a good look. But Dame would be like, ooh, little dissension, and I told him I never want to play in Boston. The Celtics are the title favorites. And Lillard's like, yeah, man, Boston, not for me. No thanks. Yep. I think I've got better opportunities on the table. We've got some Major League Baseball preview coming up here, including, of course, a same-game parlay next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Line with you right here on Sports Grid baseball preview. Pause. Double bits of breaking news in the football world. We begin in the NFL with the latest around Mike Evans and some contract discussions with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This comes from Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, where Mike Evans' agent has let Tampa Bay know that these two teams or two sides, Mike Evans and the Bucs, cannot reach a deal before they kick off their opening season, their game in Minnesota, that they are going to stop any contract negotiations with Tampa Bay, and this would potentially then clear way for Mike Evans to leave the Bucs next or this coming offseason. While that's far away, Tampa Bay looking to get some things settled here and now. Donnie, your reaction to the Mike Evans-Tampa Bay news?
I don't think it's going to end well here, because Mike Evans, again, is a quality wide receiver. How does he actually fit into the Tampa Bay plans of the future? Which, it was kind of interesting, Kevin, just lining up Tampa this year. You sort of bring the team back, but you don't really have a quarterback. You tried to tell us like Kyle Trask was your favorite player in the world, and now it turns out that it might be Baker Mayfield, and we've seen how that turned out post-Cleveland so far. It just feels like they're trying to hang on to catch lightning in a bottle in one season, but honestly, I don't think after the season, there's really a game plan for what the Buccaneers want to do. And I don't know if a 10-year wideout extending him 4 or 5 years into the future is right in their plans. Maybe it's time to make that move, Kevin.
But here's my thing with Mike Evans. The fact that they are willing to negotiate. Now, it depends what the asking price is, right? Are you negotiating in good faith or not? Does show that he probably would rather stay in Tampa Bay. Why not? You won a Super Bowl there. You've had a great career with the Bucs. If you look at this Tampa Bay early schedule, at Minnesota, home against the Bears and Eagles, at New Orleans, early bye. It's home against Detroit. It's home against Atlanta. And then it's at Buffalo. And then we'll hit the trade deadline there. It's not the easiest schedule in the world, There are some winnable football games. I wonder, though, if Tampa Bay does stumble. And the way that some people are expecting, is Mike Evans then a trade candidate if a deal is not done? The NFL has been a little more willing to make some in-season deals, and I think that is something to monitor there. Guys that could be available come deadline time if Mike Evans and the Bucs do not secure a contract before they kick off against Minnesota. I think that means we are on Mike Evans' watch then up until the deadline there, and maybe regardless of where Tampa Bay is going to sit. Other piece of breaking news in the football world. This comes from the college football world, and it is more of the same. This coming from Pete Thamel of ESPN. The ACC presidents and chancellors have voted this morning to extend invitations to Stanford, California, and SMU, which would push the team, the league, up to 18 total teams. As I said, more of the same. Expansion, expansion, expansion. You're catching Stanford and Cal on real downslopes here. If you are the ACC, but I mean, Stanford not that long ago, Donnie, was, I felt like one of the premier teams in the Pac-12. Look, this team, you want an idea? They're going to Hawaii this week. The line's going to close under a field goal, okay? Stanford's in a bad place. Cal, not much better. SMU, I think that's actually an intriguing ad, but that's not even a Power 5 school right now. What do you think of ACC looking to kind of beef up here on the back end?
Yeah, just taking a look at other conferences, you're trying to not get left for most of these schools. Forget about the ACC or even like the Big Ten or the SEC combined. You're just trying to get left when the music stops with it, with having a chair underneath you. Like, okay, we can be viable into the future. But also, again, we're looking at maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the road. The Super Conference is going to come here. You're going to have an NFL-style teams with in college football that are going to resemble the NFL. And the reason I bring this up is because if you're looking to break away from the NCAA, it's all about money. It's not about, hey, you know, in the best interest of the sports in college football. Otherwise, Kevin, nobody would change conferences ever if that was the case. Rivalries would stay intact. Hey, you know, we don't make as much money as the other conference, but we like to play in the Rose Bowl and Michigan likes to play Ohio State. You're going to have divisions set up. You're going to have conferences set up. There's going to be a professional NCAA-esque college football league in about 10 years. Why? Because the top 40 or top 30, whoever make it in, they're going to take all of the money from the networks, and that's all these institutions care about.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I wouldn't doubt anything when it comes to the landscape, but I think moves like this are to prevent that, right, Donnie? Or to prevent a cut everybody off Super League there. The ACC doesn't want to be swallowed up by the rest, right? And that's why, you know, this is comparable to what the Big 12 did. You know, the Big 12 is going to be an interesting spot. We talk about kind of the death of conferences, and the Pac-12, obviously, you know, we know that is really found its conclusion here. The Big 12, the two favorites to win the Big 12 this year are Oklahoma and Texas. They are both gone at the end of this season, but they try to add and add and add on the back end. The ACC, right, as they add on to the back end here, they've been able to maintain both Clemson and Florida State, which are their top two teams this season, and you look at the odds, both of those teams have better, really bigger expectations than certainly Oklahoma, and kind of depends who you ask in terms of their expectations against Texas there. So the ACC, I think, is in a reasonably good position here. Of course, the SEC and the Big Ten remain the cream of the crop. Let's get some baseball preview in here. We've got plenty of time to go through the board here on a Friday. We start this off with the Mets and the Mariners here. As the New York Mets, and they've been battling some of this AL West teams and making a dent. It's a light number on a road Seattle favorite, a little bit above minus 120 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but this is a very low total here at Citi Field. It's a 7.5.
Yeah, leaning towards the under as well. Logan Gilbert coming into this game, 118 batters, Kevin. He's faced over the past 30 days. He's got a 193 ISO, which is slightly elevated, but a 288 weighted on base percentage, which is spectacular. If you take a look at the Mets lineup, they do fare well against right-handed pitching. For six guys in that lineup today, Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil, Alonso, Vogelbach, Stewart, they all have above average weighted on base percentages here. But if we flip it over to Seattle's lineup, who looks sensational over the past month or so against right-handed pitching, you're going up against one of the hottest pitchers in Major League Baseball, Kevin. 129 batters Kodai Senga's faced. How about this ISO? An 060. Weighted on base percentage of 279. If you break that down, just ISO power numbers, to lefties, 55 he's faced. An 042. To righties, 74 he's faced. An 074. But if you look at that lineup, 8 of the 9 batters, elevated weighted on base percentages over the past 30 days against right-handed pitchers. We're talking about the Seattle Mariners. I do think the Mariners are the better team in pedigree. Will win, but I don't know if we're going to get more than a 3-2, 4-3 type of ball game here. I look towards the under.
Yeah, fair enough. And you mentioned Senga. He's been incredible all year long at Citi Field, so location could certainly make the difference. Let's get Rays Guardians into the mix here as well. Tampa Bay on the road is a favorite at minus 180. The adding, trying to contend Cleveland Guardians here, trying to pull off an upset to hope they can catch the Minnesota Twins, another 7.5 for a listed total.
I mean, Giolito walks into the room and is like, I'm ready to carry you boys into the playoffs. And the energy's got to be super high for the Guardians. But then again, your momentum is only as good as the next starting pitcher that you're going to face is going to be. And that's Tyler Glasnow. Let's get to his statistics, Kevin. Over the past month, 72 batters that he's faced, an 061 ISO, and a 218 weighted on base percentage. You can have every shot in the arm that you want, pick up guys for waivers. I don't think it's going to work out in their favor. Cal Quantrill, however, coming back here off the IL, hasn't pitched here over the past month in baseball. I look for the Rays to handle their business. Why? Not because I'm fading Quantrill. I just want to back Glasnow.
Yeah, fair enough. You look at his last eight starts for Tampa Bay, two earned runs or less in seven of those really eight games. Let's try and can I sneak in Twins Rangers, Donnie, before the break then to put the AL Central teams next to one another here? Minnesota on the road is a plus 130 range dog here to Max Scherzer and the Texas Rangers.
43 batters that Joe Ryan has faced as a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, in the last month in baseball. Check out these numbers. ISO 436, ridiculous. Weighted on base percentage 513. Good luck handling the first three batters in that lineup. That is Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, and Nathaniel Lowe. 420, 461, and 375, respectively. Weighted on base percentages. Max Scherzer on the mound. Texas will handle their business. They need to handle their business against the Minnesota Twins.
They do. They owe this team some revenge. A week ago, Texas went to Minnesota, lost 3 out of 4, and the Rangers need some momentum as they have the Astros on deck after that Twins series. Speaking of the Astros, looks like that team might feature today in a same-game parlay. We deliver you all the goods after a quick break right here, Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early Line with you right here on SportsGrid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie, right side. The RS, we're getting close, man. We're getting close. I wore today the, can you see it on here? It's a LeBron, it's a D-Wade and LeBron shirt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You talk about all-time duos. You talk about D-Wade LeBron. You talk about Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rineside.
That's right. And also, by the way, I heard your next producer is designed just to rein you in from pulling stunts like what you just pulled there. So I can't wait to watch it.
I heard that same producer is supposed to rein you in as well, man. We'll see how that goes. But
I'm
let's
a Bronco
get the
out here, pal. Come on now.
Yeah, I know, man. Show up. Let it rip. Speaking of, let's get the same game parlay. Yep. Yankees, Astros, Don, I gotta imagine. I mean, it's gonna be Yankees love all throughout this SGP, right?
Yeah, we could have named this a multiple different types of options here, like Carlos Roadkill as opposed to Rodon. He's gonna get hit today. So decided to go with moonshots. Now, granted, yesterday, Kevin, calming waters, right? Let's get back here, let's get some winning vibes going. We were able to cash that yesterday. So as we move to Friday, I figure, like, you know what? We should try to be sensible and do nice things, right? Plus 150, plus 165. Hey, yo. My name is Donnie.
This is
the Early Line. We're getting after it one more time. His name is Kevin. He's got his own show. I can't believe he's going to leave me without this flow. Now, Kevin, take the mic. You got it on call. We're going on live. One more time. Let's go.
What just happened? Did you just have a plan, Rob?
Yeah, I didn't plan that, I swear.
No way you didn't plan that.
Yeah, tell me.
No way.
If you could get the money, that there was not. You know, I wouldn't lie to be like, hey, I got something special planned. I have no idea what that was, so I just wanted to hit a rap right on the spot. You like that?
I got it. I think the rap was incredible then. The rap was great. I thought that was full planned.
I imagine. Absolutely not.
The music is probably a callback to the greatest moment in the history of this show.
It's true.
Which it was. I mean, I was trying to find that clip yesterday, and I couldn't find it. I got to find it. I'll tweet it out to the people. It's the greatest moment in the history of this show. You really just did that unprompted. I mean, it worked very well. Rhymed the whole way.
Yes. You know I out myself, like, talking about things like yesterday, not knowing who the quarterback was when we're actually trying to do a breakdown and finding out who a quarterback was. So I out myself when I plan things or don't plan things. That was not planned, man. You don't know my skills, man. Come on. I've been around
This is a shoot. I just got a text that reads, Donnie Drip. That's what the text said. The people are loving it, man.
Some are saying 4 hours for this show moving forward, apparently.
I'm sure. Some are.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
All right. What do we got?
The Astros. Did you explain it to the people what you like then?
No, I did. Exactly. No, blew me off guard when we had a nice beat in the background. I figured it was like, did I hit something on my background desktop that the music only played for me? And so I realized, like, no, it's out on the air. So, having said that, with that nice flow there, moonshots today. Here's what we're doing on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and this is why it catches. There's actually a bonus or a boost that you can use today. 30%, I think it's 30 or 50. I can't remember exactly what it was, but there is a boost that as long as you have a 4-1 odds or higher. So I figured to make that happen. Bregman, Tucker, and McCormick of the Houston Astros going up against Carlos Rodon, who can't get anybody out. Each of those guys to get an RBI. Boosted up, Kevin, that's a 19-1 price. What better way to leave the early line in style than drop a 19-1 and hit off a fly wrap here and drop the mic and leave? This should be called drop the mic right now. It really should have been. Can we get an instant replay, by the way? I'd like to see what I said again.
Yeah, frankly. Darius, you just hit the ground running and never looked back. Yeah. I was like, I don't know if Donnie would plan to rap, like, on my way out.
No.
Like, that was...
No, there was no plan.
That was brilliant.
Which makes it even better.
That was...
There you go. I like chaos. Like, stuff comes into my ears like, oh my gosh, why is music playing? People try to stay straight. Yeah. It's like, no, you interrupt it and you let it rip. That's what it's called, man.
Right? And you just give people you going, hey yo, though, right off the bat. I mean, send me in outer space. Can we
look? I was watching Mobb Deep yesterday, so I'm ready to go, man. I was preemptive for that. Like, just got the flow right into it. Yeah.
I mean, all right. Shout out Queens. Should we do some Phillies Brewers for the people?
Let's go.
Phil's are a road favorite. That's an impressive. That is an impressive line. I don't really say that very often, but the Phillies being a favorite in Milwaukee, Freddie Peralta is a respectable pitcher. Of course, we know what Zach Wheeler brings, but the Brewers they have the same exact record as the Philadelphia Phils. It just shows the level of baseball and respect the Phillies get in the market.
It also shows the level of respect. You're right about that Phillies lineup and what they've actually been doing at the plate. We're finally in the month of September now. That was a month for the ages for the Philadelphia Phillies. Never in their 120 plus years of Phillies baseball have they hit more home runs in one month than they did in last month here. And hopefully that continues over as I look forward to it. Let's take a look at Zach Wheeler. He's really good. We know that. 139 ISO power number, 263 weighted on base percentage throughout the last 30 days. But I don't even want to focus on that. I want to focus on the Phillies batters because that lineup for the Brewers is okay. But when you're looking at it now, Kevin, this is getting into the territory, which we saw for about a month, and we're still getting it here from the Atlanta Braves. Let me just let it rip here on what we're looking at here, Kevin, for the past 30 days with Freddie Peralta. He's been fantastic. An 072 ISO number and a weighted on base percentage of a 195. That is outrageous. So immediately you're probably looking at the under, but then you take a look at the Phillies lineup versus right-handed pitching, Kevin, over the past 30 days. Let's just look at the ISO power metrics. Once again, 170 or higher is an above average Major League Baseball player. Schwarber, 390. Trey Turner, 458. Bryce Harper, 404. 225 for Castellanos. 262 for Stott. 226 for Bohm. 308 for Marsh. Jake Cave, 318. Kevin, most of these players are double the ISO power number of the average Major League Baseball player. It's hard. The Phillies have their ace on the mound, and that lineup, I'm trusting them. I am.
Look, again, no reason not to. They have been awesome. But again, Milwaukee has been playing good ball. So coming off that Chicago series, we'll see who this whole thing favors. Let's get to the Boston Red Sox. This hang around team when we talk about the American League wild card. Though, losers of four in a row, that dream is probably over. But if you sweep the Kansas City Royals, maybe we can have a different conversation. And everybody's favorite, Jordan Lyles, is on the mound. The total's a 9.5. Boston's the road favorite, of course.
Yeah, taking a look at this game overall. If we're looking at Paxton from his angle here, he actually does not get out right-handed batters. 92 batters, Kevin, he's faced over the past 32 days. How about this? A 321 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 434. Where are we looking? Right in the middle of that lineup. JP's finest right here, I like to say. Bobby Witt Jr., 294 ISO power number, weighted on-base percentage 378. But if you're actually looking for batters here, it's almost as if you want to just say, you know what? Paint by numbers here, Kevin. Lyles gets nobody out. A right-handed pitcher, ISO power number the last 30 days, 127 batters he's faced. That's a 381. A weighted on-base percentage of 427. A K rate of only 13%. Look at the first three guys in the lineup. Their weighted on-base percentage and also K rate numbers here, which is very important. Verdugo, 368 weighted on-base percentage, 15% K rate. Devers, 438 weighted on-base percentage, K rate 14%. Turner, 369 weighted on-base percentage, K rate of 13%. Also, if you want to take a look at, I guarantee you a guy on my card tonight for an RBI is Adam Duvall. 397 ISO, 451 weighted on base percentage. He'll be right in the middle of that lineup. Probably legitimate chance to hit a home run as well. This game should get over the total.
Makes sense. Again, and how long can Jordan Lyles continue to get away with it? I mean, this guy has started for this team all year long. He has been awful all year long. But that is because they are terrible. Speaking of terrible, the Toronto Blue Jays. Man, I've heard some commercials here on the network where the Great White North are giving up on this team here. And if you're going to try and turn it around, though, Coors would be the place to do it against Flexen. This game totals at 12. The expectation for Toronto is to put up runs and dominate this game.
Seasonally, Flexen against right-handed batters, 274 ISO power number, weighted on base percentage, 433. In just the last 30 days against right-handed batters, 321 ISO, 444 weighted on base percentage. You're going to want to go with right-handed batters tonight. George Springer, 355 weighted on base percentage, going up against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. You take a look at Schneider. I know you probably never heard of this guy before. A 261 ISO, a 537 weighted on base percentage. So a couple of the guys you want to take a look at. If they don't hit tonight and rock the Rockies, yeah, something is wrong north of the border for sure.
And if you look at it for Toronto, Donnie, I mean, it's Colorado for three, it's Oakland for three, and it's Kansas City for three. Is that unfair to say that needs to be 8-1 for this baseball team? Is that,
you gotta make a run,
but it's right there. It is there for the taking. I mean, that isn't while all these AL West teams are kind of playing one another and things like that. If you look at the standings right now for Toronto, three back in the loss column of the Rangers and the Astros, who are right now occupying those wild card spots, four back of the Seattle Mariners, who are currently in first place in that division. It's in range for the Toronto Blue Jays. I know that there are still three other games that you wanted to bring up here. I want us to be able to have a little bit of an NFL futures conversation as well. So what we'll do is we're coming up against the break. We will rapid fire those three baseball games, figure out what your favorite items are for the remainder of that West Coast slate. We've already handled the Dodgers and the Braves in hour number one. And then we take it to the futures market as the countdown to kickoff is on, 6 days away from the beginning of the National Football League right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And the kickoff is on. We're going to get, though, to a couple of more Major League Baseball items. But before that, I do also need to make sure I do this in case I forget and give a shout-out to our producer on this show, Brian Rutkowski, B-Ruts, who has been with us the entire time we have been doing this, even when Brian and I were doing this before Donnie, also responsible for dropping Donnie a fresh beat that he was able to send off. B-Ruts, an absolute legend, DRS. Not just final day doing the early line, final day here at SportsGrid, an absolute titan of this company.
Yeah, going to be interesting not to hear that voice in my ear anymore at this point. So good times were had by all. And just the name of it, word on the street was like he was the first one to go. So therefore, the show couldn't continue. So we want to lay blame here to somebody. It's not me. I'm trying to blame Kevin. Maybe just blame the producer here and Brian. But no, seriously, fantastic job all the way through for Brian. Certainly made our job a lot easier over the past 2.5 years, no doubt about it.
Very true. Also a West Virginia alum. So, out of respect, the Mountaineers might be the play on Saturday night. So, keep your eye on that number. Let's see if we can get a flat 21 out there. Donnie, three other baseball games that we did not get to. So, I'm going to set them up. You go where you need to. But we have the Angels and the Athletics, of course. LA, the favorite against this awful Oakland team. Total, though, is an 8, which for a J.P. Sears game is maybe lighter than I would have expected. The Padres favored over the Giants. Because, of course, the Padres are, despite the fact that they are terrible. And that number is about minus 140 with Michael Wacha on the mound. And then Baltimore lays a very light number in Arizona. That the biggest total of that bunch checks in at 9.5.
By the way, the most fun of what we just went over was the Padres. Let's keep in mind, like, the Padres are favorite every day, even though they do not win. And also, have you checked the standings here at the FanDuel Sportsbook on the best overall pitcher that looks like it's going to be in the National League? Oh, yeah, it's Blake Snell. So I don't have, there is no anomaly. 30 for 30 will be done on the Padres of the best team in baseball that stunk. The worst, it's probably going to be the Padres as they pop up. But the game I do want to focus on is the Angels and the Athletics. Because why? J.P. Sears, a left-handed pitcher, is horrendous, Kevin. Last 30 days, 121 batters he's faced. A 318 ISO and a 471 weighted on base percentage. Now, typically, Kevin, you'd ask yourself and say, who does he actually get out? Well, he's a lefty. He probably does a little bit better against lefties than he does righties. That's not the case. Last 30 days, Kevin, a 474 ISO and a 543 weighted on base percentage against against left-handed hitters, which he, again, is a left-handed pitcher. So this is one of those that interests me, Kevin. Two baseball teams going absolutely nowhere. If we're Oakland, are we really playing this out going, hey, you know what? Let's hold the four fingers up every time Shohei Ohtani gets to the plate here. Or are we just going to say, let's have some fun, challenge him. What's the big deal? We stink, they stink. He's not going to be in LA. Let's see what we can do. Because why? I would want him on my RBI card tonight. 261 ISO, 366 weighted on base percentage against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. If they pitch to Ohtani, he's going to get multiple RBIs tonight. But boy, is it frustrating when he comes to the plate and they just hold up those four fingers. He walks the first, and guys like Luis Rengifo double down the line to get his RBIs.
I got it. I was thinking about this the other day as I was watching that Braves-Dodgers game, Donnie, with Acuña Jr. and Mookie Betts. Like, Mookie, what's Mookie's protection? The third NL MVP candidate in Freddie Freeman. What's Acuna's protection? The entire damn lineup. Mm-hmm. How did anybody ever pitch to Mike Trout for all those years with the Los Angeles Angels is completely beyond me. And Ohtani now going kind of through a similar thing where it's, of course, we're not pitching to him. Why would we ever pitch to Shohei Ohtani? All right, let's make the transition here. Countdown to kickoff is on. We are 6 days away from the beginning of the Kansas City Chiefs' attempt to defend their Super Bowl crown, and they are the favorites to do so at plus 600. The Eagles and Bills are the only other teams underneath 10-1. You have 8 teams listed underneath 20-1, with the Ravens and the Jets being those back-end teams. Don, I want to start with the Super Bowl market here as we are getting closer to kickoff. Who has been jumping out to you, whether it's just, look, this is the best team, this is who I'm betting, maybe a long shot value play in the Super Bowl market?
I still like the Baltimore Ravens at that 18-1 price. Now, do I think the Ravens are the overall best team in the league? I don't necessarily believe that, but if I'm going to get an 18-1 price point with a legitimate chance, if they stay healthy, and we say if for just about every football team, they have just as good a chance as anybody else. If we're looking at the top of the standings, of course you look at the Chiefs, but to be honest, I don't think they're going to go back-to-back. It's so hard to do that. So many things are set up against it, including you played more football games than everybody else except the team that you beat in the Super Bowl. So the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, laying under the radar because they don't play their starters in the preseason. They signed their quarterback early. There was no controversies across the landscape here for the Eagles. And the Buffalo Bills, almost that forgotten group at 9-1, third in line at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Super Bowl based on the odds. I don't think they get enough credit because they were the it team for two straight years, and then some teams have sort of moved on. But the things that are intriguing to me, like the Miami Dolphins, again, now that we see those issues in the running back position, Tua Tagovailoa, is he going to stay healthy? If they do stay healthy, that That's a team at 21-1 that I would be looking at. But just those front runners here, Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, I guess in that order. There's a lot of teams you could take flyers on, but let's be honest with ourselves. The cream is going to rise to the top here, and I do believe it's going to come from those four teams that I just mentioned.
Fair enough. Look, the elite are the elite for a reason. One thing that as we've been getting closer, that it's tough to figure out what the right approach is. But a team that I think both of us like this year is the Los Angeles Chargers. I've taken all my shots at Brandon Staley. Those all remain. But their biggest problem was Lombardi, the offensive coordinator. To go from that to Kellen Moore is an absolute dream situation.
Yeah.
Line the Chargers roster up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And coach, quarterback, the most important thing, that goes KC's way. But everything else, the Chargers are loaded. Two great edge rushers in Bosa and Mack. The offensive line is fantastic. And the wide receiver room, add Austin Eckler into that with Big Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, right? Drafting Quentin Johnson in the first round. They're loaded, Donnie. But I struggle figuring out, again, in terms of the bigger ticket items, or take it even into the AFC market for the Los Angeles Chargers, where they're 11-1 to win that. Is a Chargers ticket worth it if I don't believe they win the division? Because is that the starting point for the Chargers to actually get there and go on a run? We know, look, the Chiefs have won, I believe, seven division crowns in a row.
One thing we do know is you're not going in the Arrowhead and beating the Chiefs in the playoffs. It's just not going to happen. Like, if you have that top overall seed, they're going to somehow find a way to win that football game. So I do think you're correct that the jumping off point for the Chargers is they must win the division, which means they were the best team in that division over 17 games, not just a one-game playoff here where you might get lucky or an injury happens or a ball doesn't bounce your way. But I am a big believer in the Chargers. And you take a look at the AFC, an 11-1 price, because I do think they're going to challenge the Kansas City, massive options that they have on offense, because the reason being is what's the best way to go into Kansas City and win? Have an organic pass rush. They have that. Have playmakers in the secondary. They have that. And you're right. If we're using elements to say, hold on, who actually is the best offense in this division here? The Chargers got so many. If you go weapon to weapon with the Chiefs and the Chargers, outside you have Kelce and Mahomes. I get that. Sure. But as a totality, give me the Chargers.
They are absolutely loaded. But the Chiefs sit in their division, and that's always tricky. Let's go from the top to the bottom. Odds for the worst regular season record. +250 Arizona. Next team, +850 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Arizona Cardinals traded away their projected starting quarterback a week out from the beginning of this season. Do you even consider getting cute in this market, Donnie, and betting somebody that is not the Arizona Cardinals in the chase for Caleb Williams?
No, because let's take a look at the teams here that are fighting for this, right? The Cardinals at +250. The reason that nobody's +350 or +450 is because they're that bad. But also, you have to have the mindset of the organization. The organization's number one goal, Arizona is telling you right now, is to lose as many football games as they possibly can to get better draft capital as they try to retool in the next couple of years. Yeah. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers sort of went, we're all in, but not really. But we don't want to ruin our team. We don't want to trade guys. They still have talent there. Mm-hmm. They think they can win. The Houston Texans, with a young quarterback coming in that they think is their franchise guy, and DeMeco Ryan's a first-year coach, they don't show. I mean, they might be bad, Kevin, but I don't think anybody's going like, Houston's just going to tank out this season. The Rams, they might be tanking by default. But there's one team here that sent the vibes out that goes, we want to lose every single game. It feels like it's the Cardinals. Price appropriate there, as they are a massive favorite to be the worst team in the NFL.
When you put their schedule into perspective, the NFC West certainly is tricky. They draw the AFC North, which is not what you're looking for. But I think this is my favorite way to... Don, if you had to figure out, if you had to rank top to bottom the three worst teams on their schedule, I think it would likely be Washington, Houston, and Chicago. All road games. Not only are they trying to lose every single game, they are favored to lose every single game on their schedule. Just a different type of tank in Arizona. I want to each kind of throw out a week one line that we're looking at here. For me, it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. And no, it's actually not in because of Philadelphia. Well, to a degree, it is. But I view the New England Patriots the complete opposite of everybody else heading into this season. For a lot of people, the idea is run the football, do nothing nice on the offensive side of it, trust your defense. Telling you last year, go through it, look at what happened when they played elite quarterbacks. They were lit up on the defensive side of the rock. Lit up. That offense, though, will be better this season. with Bill O'Brien stepping in at offensive coordinator, adding Juju Smith-Schuster. Mac Jones was much better in year one than year two, and if he can get back to that year one level, then this team will have more juice than anticipated. One of the items I'm already targeting for week one, Donnie, is going to be an over in Pats-Eagles.
Yeah, so I like where you're going with that, too, because I actually thought you were going to take a look at that time. It's like, oh, 4.5 now turns into 3.5, and here come the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. Again, I do think they're a quality football team overall. Do I think they're going to challenge for the AFC East? No, because that's how tough that division is. But I always like to say, like, if you can remove the Patriots from the AFC East and put them in the NFC South or the AFC South, you say, hey, look at that. Any chance that the Patriots could be a dark horse here in 2023? Well, you're just a product of your environment, and they're not going to win a ton of football games. Why? Because every team in the division is better than them, and they're priced that way at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but they have a solid offensive line, options in the backfield, wide receivers that are NFL quality, and if you now have, hey, look at this, Bill O'Brien is a real offensive coordinator, not Matthew Patricia, maybe you can have some competency there. They'll be a better football team than what we saw last year, but again, product of your environment tells me, I don't think they're going to win a ton of football games, not their fault overall, it's just the fact of the matter, they play in a tough division, that's all.
And a tough division based on offense, right? High-level offenses in that, or that's the expectation in that division. Jets-Bills is a game that I know you're trying to take a look at here, that opening Monday nighter where Buffalo is a 2.5-point road favorite.
It's fascinating because I'm waiting here, and I guess we'll get this for the true game week to see some of those betting statistics at the FanDuel Sportsbook, because this is one of those games where, and I know it doesn't usually work this way, but everybody is buying into the hype of the New York Jets, and they get Hard Knocks. You get to see everything going right. Dress rehearsal from the Jets looked immaculate with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, but yet this line that was -1.5 for so long, Kevin, now sits at 2.5, and not like, oh yeah, the Jets are now favored. Like, no, we're getting closer to a field goal for the Buffalo Bills. I think that it's hard to say this, Kevin, where the Buffalo Bills, as you just said, might surprise you, but I feel like the Buffalo Bills were the last 2 years team, including myself, riding the wave. This is the year. This is the year not to get it done. They're sort of forgotten about, and I want to see, like, opening night, if they come guns blazing on the road to beat the Jets and be like, yeah, we're a good football team overall here. Don't forget about us. So I'm intrigued not only by the game itself, but the line movement now more towards the Bills getting closer to a field goal.
Bills certainly have my attention. I'll tell you that much. That sometimes you got to zag when others are going to zig. Mm-hmm. After this commercial break, we close it out. And I am sticking around for this. Listen up.
Oh, no.
Just one last
next show's
ride.
Gonna be
yes, I am, brother.
Mad.
You better believe it. You ain't getting rid of me that easy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the week. Final segment of the day. This one. Final segment of an era here on the early line. So we're not going to waste any time here. Just listen up, people. Quiet. There it is. What do we got? Maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go here for 2.5 years. It's kind of funny when you say this because how long we've been doing the show? It has been 2.5 years. The first time I came here on the Sports Grid Network, I believe, was what, March of 2021? Just a few short weeks later, it felt like, that I came on to the early line. And away we went, and I never thought I would be a morning person. Now it looks like, Kevin, I'm always going to be a morning person here.
Yeah, you are. It's pretty remarkable. Because before you started on this show, I was known as the person who never missed work and had the most grueling schedule. You then matched me schedule item for schedule item and have literally never missed. I left this show before you missed an episode of the early line. That's incredible.
Never missed a single show Monday through Friday. Look, I was put here to teach you how to actually be a professional. And I think it rubbed off the right way at this point. I do think it did.
I think so as well. Look, I'll just quickly say, I've done this for, I don't know, maybe an additional year before you entered the fold, but us doing this together, it's been an absolute treat, despite the fact that I will never, ever be a morning person or be able to adjust to it. It's always been a show I've looked forward to doing each and every morning with you, and luckily we still have Moneyline together weekdays that we'll be able to rip
do
and
we?
Roll with.
Yes, we do. We still are going to be together here, but yeah. Sometimes times are changing. Football season is here. We'll still be hanging around the networks and certainly providing everything. But the one thing we always say is, Donnie, what is your job? And I technically say, I don't have a job. I just get on the air. We have so much fun here at the Sports Grid Network in the last 2.5 years with old K-Dub. And he always like to say never on some of these shows that might appear. So good luck to everybody out there. The early line will continue. It's just not in this form. And one more time, I like to say, see you later.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.